The UN Climate Change Conference began in Glasgow on Sunday. The two-week symposium known as COP26 has seen leaders from more than 100 countries participate in policy discussions with the big goal of slowing the worst impacts of climate change. President Biden attended the early phases of the conference to convince other countries that the United States is back at the table after the Trump administration dismissed international climate change discussions. And Rich Preston is covering COP26 for the BBC and joins us now to talk more about it. Good morning, Rich.
Hi, good morning to you, Lauren.
Okay, so let's start with how the first few days have gone of COP26 so far. Has the tone sort of changed now that the U.S. is re-engaging in climate talks?
Absolutely. It was a big deal for the world when President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement. That was what was agreed in 2015. Russia, for example, says the U.S. clearly doesn't care about climate change. You left the Paris Agreement. We never left the Paris Agreement. The fact that the U.S. is now back at the table is a big deal. And these first 2 days, generally, in terms of international representation, have been pretty positive. President Biden, as you mentioned, being there, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, President Macron from France, lots of significant heads of state. What's more significant, though, Lauren, is the world leaders who are not there. President Putin of Russia, I just mentioned, he sent a short video message instead. His message basically being, Russia's doing the right thing. This is a problem you guys caused. You guys should sort it out. President Xi Jinping of China, he's not there. It had been anticipated he was going to send a video message, but instead only sent a written statement, and that has been a real dampener on things. China is the world's biggest polluter. Its carbon emissions count for about a third of the entire planet. So the Chinese leader not even turning up on a video link set a really negative tone for how the negotiations would go. Now, many of those big world leaders have left. They're there for this the kind of big opening ceremony, the World Leaders Summit in the first couple of days. They're away now. It's down to getting down to business. But we do expect them to come back for the closing couple of days when there might be some big announcements.
Yeah. Okay. So what announcements have we seen thus far?
Well, today's Energy Day. More than 40 countries have signed a pledge, which was spearheaded by the UK and Canada, to move away from coal. And that's a big deal because coal is the dirtiest of fuels. This includes countries which have some pretty high coal usage, like Poland, Vietnam, Chile. And as part of the agreement, richer countries say they'll phase out coal power stations in the 2030s. Poorer countries get an extra decade to play with. They're going to do it in the 2040s. Another big announcement today, and this one does include the US, 20 countries have said that they will end overseas fossil fuel finance. The US, UK and Canada are amongst them. Mm-hmm. That means they're going to remove funding for overseas oil and gas developments from next year, unless the carbon that's emitted when that fuel is burned can be captured and stored. Now, it's a big deal that the US has signed up to this because they didn't sign up to that pledge to move away from coal. Unfortunately, China, Japan and South Korea are not among the signatories on that fossil fuel finance agreement, and they're the biggest financiers of overseas oil and gas. Money is a contentious issue at COP26. Now, there was a promise made back in 2009 in Copenhagen, so this predates the Paris Agreement, that rich nations would give $100 billion a year to poor countries to help them move away from fossil fuels and mitigate against the effects of climate change. Now, the target for that was 2020. The goalposts have already been moved back to 2023. So that's a bit of a sticking point. But there's an agreement being made in Glasgow to put trillions of dollars of private capital towards clean technology. So 450 of the world's biggest banks and insurance companies, who in total control about $130 trillion, say they will shift their finances to activities that move towards zero carbon.
Okay, so lots of progress being made, it sounds like. But I understand it hasn't all been smooth sailing. Give us a sense of what some of the stumbling blocks maybe have been, not even just in terms of policy here, but in terms of how the conference is functioning.
Yeah, well, India was a bit of a disappointment, if I'm honest. Now, it was really up front in Paris in 2015. I was there. You know, it really made some bold pledges and was one of the first countries to sign up to the Paris Accord. But it's been kind of slow when it comes to COP26. It has now committed to being carbon neutral, but not until 2070, which is very far in the distance. The thing is, when 2070 arrives, Mr. Modi will be 120 years old, so it's highly unlikely he's going to have to deal with any of the fallout of this. Australia has been another big disappointment. It's one of the world's biggest coal exporters. It's seen as a bit of a villain in the climate world, especially because it sees firsthand the effects of climate change, you know, these terrible bushfires and droughts and heat waves it gets.
Yeah.
And also because, you know, Australia has such potential when it comes to renewables. All that sun and wind and wave power, it's really not kind of met other countries when it's come to its kind of carbon neutrality pledges. The big disappointment is China, that written statement I mentioned, not even a video message. And China's pollution is going up and up. Then there have been other issues as well. Huge delays for people getting into venues because of security checks and COVID checks. These are understandable, but lots of critics saying you should have been prepared for these. Glasgow is a small city. It's almost like it's bursting at the seams. There are struggles with hotel rooms. There's criticism that the food being served at COP26 doesn't send a good message. Menus with a high proportion of meat and dairy or which have big carbon footprints.
Yeah.
And on the very first day, a delegate from the Israeli government who uses a wheelchair couldn't attend because the transport and venue were not wheelchair accessible.
Mm.
That prompted lots of complaints. So there have been some stumbling blocks as well.
Yeah. The BBC's Rich Preston joining us to talk more about COP26. Rich, thank you so much as always.
Thank you, Lauren.